ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Jacinta Parsons, filling in for Hilary Harper. If you've lost a pet you love deeply, you know how much grief it can bring. But sometimes people around you just don't get it. This is known as disenfranchised grief. This Sunday, ABC's Compass, Goodbye My Dog, follows the last days in the lives of three dogs and explores the best ways to help their owners through. Nadia Nobley was the owner of Cocola, a beautiful miniature poodle, and the episode follows the last week of Cocola's life. Nadia, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Jacinta. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's so good. And it's such a beautiful opportunity to see the last moments of Cocola's life. It's that last week. She was 17. You got her at four, though. How did she come into your life?
Oh, look, it was basically because my father, who with my mother moved next door to the apartment next door, he had dementia, and his geriatrician agreed that maybe a little dog might make a difference in his life. And so that's how Cocola came about.
And what sort of role did she end up playing in the family's life?
Oh, a big role. Not just with Dad, who eventually had to go into a home for the last year or so of his life, but also with my mother, who adored dogs, and they bonded very quickly. And he also helped with her last years in her life. And myself, I'm on my own. I don't have children. I've been divorced for over 20 years. And Cocola was the best partner I ever had.
Oh.
We were really in tune with each other.
Yeah, how beautiful. And it's so representative of that relationship that so many people have with their pets. But this is when it gets tough, because about a year ago you started to realise Cocola wasn't having a good quality of life. What started to change, and what did the vet say when you brought her in to see him?
If I'm honest, it was probably 2 years, and we had that conversation at that time, and he said, look, you'll know when the time is right, because her eyesight was diminishing, and I'd gone to him because she'd been got in the middle of a pack of dogs at our local dog park, and they bit her on the eye. And I said, I'm just worried about her. He said, you'll know when the time comes. So when the time did come, her eyesight diminishing, she wasn't well in herself. It was a struggle for her. He said, just don't leave it until it's so difficult for both of you. And that's what we did. We decided when the time was right. I decided, but she more or less told me, I can tell you. She said, it's my turn, Mum.
It's a brave decision to make.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, it is. What you did, though, which was a wonderful thing to see, was that you really believe in rituals and to prepare for Cocola's death. What rituals did you undertake, and how did they actually provide for you some support?
Well, I think, firstly, I have a very close community of owner residents here, and each of them came and supported me. So I was very, very, very lucky with that, and a good supportive family. So they all came in their own time and said goodbye. And then I also went to the service that Father Bill Cruz does for blessing of the animals. And for me, it was like she got her final rites, I suppose, and I felt at peace within myself that I'd done everything I could to give her the life and the send-off that she deserved.
And we get to see how deeply loved she is, Nadia.
The texts are everyone.
Yeah. And well-deserved love. The texts are already flowing in with stories of people and what they have done in terms of dealing with the grief of losing a pet. Margaret says, there is a beautiful poem called The Last Battle, which may help people who are reluctant to put their pets to sleep. And the quote is, for this last battle can't be won. Nadia, I mean, it was, as you say, such a big time in dealing with this decision. But you're a nurse. You say, though, that that actually didn't prepare you for the level of grief and the difficulty of the decision making.
No, as far as her symptoms, I knew that the time was coming, you know, and I've been nursing for 50 years. I've just retired just over a year ago, which gave me the time with Coccola. But her symptoms I was aware of, but when that time came to finally make that decision, that was very difficult because I didn't know if I wanted to let go. But I have dealt with the dying. And I knew that it was the kindest thing for her. I knew that for her, she needed peace. So as difficult as it was for me, I knew that she was grateful that I'd made that decision.
Oh, and again, it is such a generous and gracious and kind decision to make. The other way that you have celebrated her living, though, is with memorialising her in a number of ways. Tell us about what you did and how that's helped.
Well, first of all, of course, the photos around the house, the screensaver on my computer is a slideshow. Aww. And it shows all the family with her at times, you know, but she's predominantly the star of that slideshow. The other thing is when I received her ashes, I sent a couple of teaspoons off to a company in England. They do it here, but the particular item I wanted I could only find from this company in England. And they more or less incorporate the ashes into the molten glass as they're making an ornament. And I had a candle holder, tea candle holder made, and the silvery strains of bubbles in that beautiful glass are her ashes. So, you know, I light that from time to time. I used to light it every night, but now I just light it from time to time. But it's in front of me as I sit watching the television. I had that. I had a little gold heart where I've put grains of her ashes in there, and I wear that around my neck on a chain. I have a key locket with a photo and a bit of fur in there. And I had a photo book made with about 50 pages of photos with all my friends and family are in there. What else? And my niece gave me this gorgeous little, it's a tiny little monocle and it hangs on the chain as well. And when you look through it, you see one of the last photos I had taken with her.
Oh, Nadia, what a lovely and beautiful way to commemorate her life. And I'm assuming this has provided also just enormous comfort for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, because she passed here, I had the vet come home. She passed here with me. I still feel like her presence and her soul is here. This is still her home and she lives within it with me. And also with the cat, two doors up.
There's a cat.
Two doors up. Look, the cat became her companion. I think he felt that she knew. Aww. They bonded. And every time I'd come home, she'd be asleep on the couch with Cheech, the cat. And he's still here. He's here this morning.
Good morning, Cheech.
He pops in. Good morning, Cheech. He's fast asleep on my dressing gown. And he grieved for her as well. He used to pop the first few weeks, he'd pop into her pram, which I still kept in the office, and he'd fall asleep in there. And we'd grieve together. And he's helped me all along. Every time he comes in here is also another reminder of Coccola.
It's a really good point that you make too, that other pets feel the grief
Absolutely.
For pets that they love. Lots of texts coming through, Nadia. You are not alone. And also you speaking today is comfort to other people. This one, I absolutely sympathise. I am solo, no children. My beloved dog died very suddenly last August.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I know.
Well, in August, my very best friend passed and I'd been looking after her for a year and it was very difficult because when I'd say to her, Gladys, I want to get home before dark because she doesn't see well. And I'd come home. And then when my girlfriend passed in August, a few weeks later, I put Coccola down because that was the time she said, it's my turn now. It was just, I'm sorry. It's still very raw.
Do you know what? It's so wonderful and brave of you to come on and speak to us because, as I said, you sharing this grief is also supporting other people who are going through it. What's interesting about this, Nadia, is that the Compass program is actually looking at that idea of disenfranchised grief. So when you don't feel like you can express yourself as you are today, yes, it can be very, very hard for people. How have you found that support around you with this level of grief you're going through?
I've been very fortunate because, as I said, I have a good community. All the neighbours here, we love each other and we help each other, but they adored Kōkula. She was like the mascot of the forum and everybody just loved her. So they gave me a lot of support. And like my family, my sister, my nieces, my nephews, they've always been there to help me through all of this. And I know what it's like when you haven't got that support, because I have a very close friend who lost 2 dogs in 1 year and she just went to pieces and nobody understood what she was going through. She didn't seem to get the support that I was lucky enough to have, and that stayed with her up until now. I think she still suffers from that.
And again, these conversations are so important so that we highlight just how real and important the experience of expressing this grief is. Nadia, how are you going with the healing? You know, these memorials and the way that you've done this seems like such a healthy way to celebrate her life.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Look, you can tell I'm still emotional every time I think about it. I was inconsolable for the first few months, but, you know, life goes on and you keep yourself busy. But there are moments when I'm on my own and I'll just go down a rabbit hole and watch all the videos I took of her, all the photos. And mind you, every day on Facebook, there's something that reminds me of her with the memories that come up. But I still sob when I'm alone. I sob at times, but most of the time I've come to appreciate that special love and companionship that I had and who saw me through a very difficult time of nursing both my parents until they both died. So, I suppose I'm coping.
You are doing, you know, everything that you possibly can to mourn the loss of a beautiful, beautiful dog, Kōkula. The best thing is she's immortalised in this Sunday's ABC's Compass.
I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen any of it.
Well, I've had a little sneak peek, Nadia, and you both come up trumps, so you're going to love it. It's called Goodbye, My Dog, Nadia Nubli. Thank you so much for your bravery in speaking about such an enormous loss in your life. But as I said, it's such a comfort for other people to hear you speak in this way.
Thank you, Jacinta, and you've made it very easy for me to speak this morning because I was very, very nervous about it.
Oh, you are a delight. Thank you again for joining us. You are on ABCRN Life Matters. Lots and lots of texts coming through. This one here, crying with you. What a hard couple of years. I've never been so hysterical as when I had to bury my little cat. I'm so glad you had such a beautiful time together as soulmates. And this one, Kathleen says, I'm a celebrant and I do a lot of pet funerals, helping people express their love for the loved ones they have lost. They give hugs without any words, but become the center of our universe. Silent, unconditional love is a gift. They are observant and they know. Dr. Vanessa Rolfe is a clinical counselor specializing in pet loss and animal bereavement, and her PhD looked at the psychology of human-animal interaction. So she's seen people move through this process countless times. Dr. Rolfe, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Jacinta. Thank you so much for having me. And I also want to say thank you, Nadia, for sharing your story. It was just really heartwarming and I really appreciate your courage in coming forward and sharing, because it really does help.
It really does. And that's one of the questions I really wanted to ask you. Why is it so important that we talk about this and that we share it with each other?
Yeah, I think there's a few reasons as to why it's important to talk about. And I think the first one is that as Australians, we actually have the highest rates of pet ownership in the world. So nearly 70% of Australian households own a pet. And when we look at how many people own a dog, we've got about 50% of households that own a dog. And pets, unfortunately, don't live as long as us. Dogs live on average around 10 to 13 years. So that really means that experiencing the loss of a beloved dog is something that we're all, unfortunately, going to go through at some point in our lives. What we also know is that the bond we have with our dogs is really special. So, you know, many of the clients that I see will describe them often as their soulmates or their heart dogs, and often like a child. They might see them as a child or a best friend or a partner. And so many dogs give us a sense of meaning and purpose, and really just a whole reason to get out of bed in the morning. They provide us with an opportunity to share our love and to also feel loved. And not just loved for, you know, what we do for our job or what we look like, but just unconditionally love us no matter what, the good, the bad. So really, they're so important to us. So there's many reasons why we really need to talk about it and highlight just how special this bond is, so that people who lose a companion animal, who lose a dog, are properly supported.
Pets have always had a really important place in our lives, but it seems in particular these days. What is it about our current relationships with pets, particularly the dogs, that makes it, you know, so challenging when they die?
I think over the past few years, we've seen a few changes with our relationships with our dogs. I mean, we have co-evolved together, first off, so we really share a strong bond throughout history. But I think in Australia, what we've seen is that dogs, you know, perhaps years ago used to live in our backyards, and now literally many of them are sharing our beds. So, you know, our lives are becoming increasingly intertwined. And I also have seen in my work that since the pandemic, that bond has become a lot closer. So many people during the pandemic were working from home, and it was also a really stressful time. So they were spending a lot more time with their dogs, and it was also stressful. And many people during that time would rely on their dogs for that support to get through that stressful time.
It's not a one-way street either. I mean, we do know that our pets feel similar feelings to us back. Is that right?
Absolutely. So attachment absolutely goes both ways. We know that when we, for example, gaze at our dogs, what happens is we get a real boost of oxytocin, and that's a bonding hormone. And that actually the same thing happens for our dogs as well. So when they gaze at us, they're also getting that boost of oxytocin as well. And we also know from the research that dogs will often attach to humans in a really similar way that children attach to their caregivers. So, for example, a dog will search for their owners when they're away, and will also greet them much more enthusiastically than they would, say, a stranger. And when we pat our dogs, the stress hormones, they're also decreased for both us and for the dogs as well.
Dr. Vanessa Rolfe is your guest today on Life Matters. Lots of texts are coming through. This one, I created a tribute book of my dog Kobe, of photos of our adventures on hikes and bushwalks together to honour her life and companionship. And this assisted my grief and the loss of Kobe. And this text as well, very true. People don't understand when your dog is your whole family. Another one here going out to Nadia, who shared that wonderful story of her and Kokola. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Nadia for sharing her story. I want to give Nadia a huge hug. I went through the same thing with my beloved 18-year-old Jack Russell, Tiffy. This, as we said, is very difficult for so many people. Tell me, is it harder, you know, when we've had pets, obviously, for many, many years? Is it also really difficult when they're young and something tragic happens?
Yeah, you know, it can be really difficult when a dog is a younger dog, and they often they might pass away under sudden or traumatic circumstances. It can be really hard. It can often feel like, you know, for some people, like they've been robbed, and perhaps wonder what they did to deserve this. It can be really quite shocking. Sometimes in these circumstances, people are working through the trauma of that shock, as well as the grief. But, you know, it's also important to remember that even if that hasn't happened, if we've had time to prepare and the dog is older, that's also difficult, because when we think about it, that's, say, for example, we've had a dog that's passed away at 17. That's 17 years together, you know, and we certainly don't want to diminish that either. So I think that can be difficult in different ways.
We've talked about how hard it is for people to deal with this loss, but that can be made even trickier when people have that grief belittled. It's called disenfranchised grief. You can talk us through that and what that means in just a moment, but let's first hear from Anna.
I recently lost my Cocker Spaniel at 15. Although my friends have been really understanding, my extended family have never owned pets, so they don't understand at all what I'm going through. They ask about how I'm doing because they know it's the right thing to do, but then tend to roll their eyes at each other and get really uncomfortable when I start tearing up. Then they try really hard to move me on from talking about it. I'm not sure how to explain to them that losing her felt like I'm losing a person in my life.
Anna's saying there, it feels the same as losing a human. I think that's sometimes where people raise their eyebrows. But can that bond be as significant as it is with a human?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. And to be honest, you know, some people can feel it much more intensely. And I know that might sound strange for some people and difficult to understand. But when we think about it, we're sharing our lives with these companion animals, with our dogs. You know, they're the first thing we see when we wake up, the first thing we see when we go to bed. And they're through us. You know, they share our ups and downs. There are constants in our lives, and they provide us with that unconditional love and support. And, you know, even people who lose a dog are quite surprised by the intensity of grief themselves. So, you know, for some people, yeah, it can be the same as losing a human and sometimes even more difficult.
How common is Anna's experience? You mentioned there that some people feel that grief more substantially. But are we seeing, you know, this as being much more of a common experience because people are sharing more?
I think it is a really common experience. And I think it's in some ways it's getting a lot easier for us to talk about, which I think is a really good thing. But I also think disenfranchised grief still is apparent when it does come. So for Anna, for example, you know, I do hear many clients that do feel this way, that it is difficult for people to understand that disenfranchised grief does become apparent. You know, we don't have formal funerals, for example, and I'm so glad that we do have celebrants that do these, but certainly it's not typical to have formal funerals, say, when a human dies. Or for some people, it's difficult to get compassionate leave when their pet dies as well. So it can still be difficult.
We heard earlier in the show Nadia describing the stages of grief that she was going through. You say there's four stages of grief that people go through. Can you tell me a little bit about those and then also how people cope?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think understanding, I guess, that first off, that grief is a really quite an active process. It's certainly not something that's passive. And grief does, as many of us who have experienced grief, we understand that it does take work and it takes a lot of courage. Having an understanding of what those tasks are can really help. So the first one is about accepting the loss. And that's when we've got to accept that the loss is permanent. That can be certainly easier to accept the reality some days more than others, and that really takes time. So here, having some rituals, just like Nadia has had, and having memorials can really help people process that loss and accept it. The second task is about processing the pain that's associated with the loss. And that can be a really difficult task as well. And people feel grief psychologically and physically. It's a whole body experience. So it's really important that we give ourselves permission to experience all of these reactions of grief. So, you know, doing things, avoiding grief or using drugs or alcohol or anything that really avoids that pain can really extend that grieving period. So it's really important to look after yourself and recognize that this pain can come in waves, and it's a really normal response to loss, and can really help give yourself that time to process that pain. And also during that time, if it feels really intense, finding some ways to calm yourself to get through those painful feelings as they arise can really help. And the third task is about adjusting to a world without our dog in it. And for some clients, when their dog passes away, it feels like their world has been tipped upside down. There are so many adjustments that need to occur, and some of those adjustments will include internal adjustments. For example, many of us might identify ourselves as a dog lover. You know, I'm Billy's mum, for example. And so when Billy, for example, passes away, people will say, well, who am I now that my dog is gone? So there's internal adjustments in that way that we need to make. We also need to make adjustments to our routines. And there's also secondary losses that occur, which will also require adjustments. So, for example, say, you know, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you're always taking Billy, you know, to the dog park and you're meeting up with your friends, and Billy hangs out with Billy's mates, Harry and Harriet, at the park. You know, that routine's going to change, and that's going to take a lot of adjustment. And so there's other losses that occur with that. And the fourth task is really, as Nadia was saying, it's about finding these enduring connections with our lost ones. And we certainly do not have to let them go completely. We never really truly lose our animals. They will live in our memories.
That's actually something I'd love to hear more about in a moment, because you offer some great tips around how we can remember that pet. We want to hear first from Laura about what helped her.
For me, I needed to have some form of keepsake just to keep some element of routine in my life from losing her. So, you know, I got the paw prints on the necklace chain and all those other sort of mementos, including having her cremated and having a plush toy that resembles her quite closely, and popping the remains of her in that. And I have that in my room, and I talk to her every day, and she's still a part of our world. And I think with grief, you know, sometimes you need to have that bridge of familiarity and routine rather than just, you know, plucking that beautiful creature out of your life so suddenly.
Vanessa, any other tips for, I mean, that's an incredible way to be remembering your pet. What other things can people do?
Yeah, look, and I think it's so true. There are so many ways that we can remember our pet and keep them close to us. So some of those that have been mentioned before, you know, they do include having photo albums. You could even get, for some people, they'll get someone to draw a portrait of their animal. They might dedicate a special place in the yard or a special place in the house for them. They might plant a tree or maybe write a poem or a letter to them. Holding the burial, or those keepsakes are really terrific as well. For others, they might scatter ashes in a meaningful area. So say, for example, they loved going to the beach with their dog, and they might scatter the ashes there. And all of those things can be really important ways to memorialise their pet, or even donating to a charity, or having a bench seat, for example, in that sunny spot that their pet used to lie in the backyard, and having their name on the chair, for example. They can all be lovely ways to remember them.
We are talking about the grief we feel when our pets die. Dr. Vanessa Rolfe is your guest this morning. This text here from Vivian in Canberra. When I lost my first dog, a great help was the American website Association for Pet Loss Bereavement Online. They have counselling and all sorts of services. One is the memoriam page, where you post a photo and words about your pet, and it stays there forever. That sounds wonderful. Kate in Auburn says, two of my cats died within a week of each other. At the time, I had a four-week-old child and a three-year-old child. I didn't ever get the space to grieve. I still grieve for those cats today. Vanessa, I know that grief is such a painful experience to go through. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people want to know, how long is this going to take?
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do ask me that. It's such a difficult one to answer, because unfortunately, there's no real timeline with this. And that's good and bad, because some people want to know, you know, oh goodness, how long is this pain going to last for? But also, it kind of takes the pressure off a little bit as well, you know, to know that there is no timeline for this. Some people will feel better in days, some weeks, some months. But, you know, certainly if people are feeling like the loss is completely overwhelming, that it is persistent over time and affecting how they want to live their lives, then there is support available. So do reach out for some professional support for people who are suitably qualified for that.
Indeed, and I think your words today have been just that. Dr. Vanessa Rolfe, clinical counsellor specialising in human-animal interaction and pet bereavement. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
We also heard from Nadia Nobley, owner of Kokala, one of the pet owners whose story is followed on ABC Compass episode Goodbye, My Dog. It's airing this Sunday on the 7th of April and on ABC, and it's also streaming on iView.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.